everyone, and welcome back to We Did It podcast. Amanda Weldon along with you, and we are now officially in season two. Now, I took a bit of a break from season one, and if you're watching on YouTube, that is something good that came out of COVID for me, was learning Zoom and being able to connect to people on there. And we are finally going to be sharing some video content as well. So if you're listening on any of the streaming platforms, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere you listen to your podcasts, hey, you could also check it out on YouTube. Now, without further ado, kind of getting that out of the way, season two kicked off seriously with a bang and kind of a pinch me moment as well for me. I got the chance to sit down and chat with Amelia Liana, who is one of the people I've just watched on YouTube for such a long time, but also looked up to. And the reason why I've looked up to Amelia is because she just has this ability to be vulnerable and just so authentic in her vlogs. And she is seriously someone who got me through the whole lockdown scenario. London, just getting out of it, it was so cool to just kind of chat with Amelia the way that things are differing, how it feels to have that open up from lockdown. But deep in our conversation, after I get all of my nerves down and out of here and just start to really settle into the interview, which I'm sure you might notice at the beginning, we really get to the heart of many things. Creating, Amelia's journey along the way from rejection to triumph over something that she had wanted to do a bit younger, but then found herself being coveted by the brand. And also just talking about haters online, overcoming heartbreak and sharing content and being vulnerable and showing up truly as yourself. This season is absolutely jam-packed with incredible people who have incredible stories. And the theme of this year, this season, is make your own momentum. And Amelia is definitely someone who has done just that.
Amelia, we did it. We made it.
Thank you so much for having me. Third time lucky, right?
Luck seems to be a pretty good theme today. Okay, but first, before we get into what is really coming out and so exciting for you, how are you doing? How jealous am I that you got to have pasta on a patio with drinks? How is London?
First of all, I'm thinking about anyone else in lockdown because it was touch and go if I was going to get through that. And like, and even though, you know, like I was with my mom, I was in the country, I was with the dogs, like having your freedom kind of taken away like that is so tough. And like not having any, we live in a world where like you have so much choice, like what rest in normal times, quote unquote normal times, you have so much choice. What restaurant should I go to? What should I do today? We've never been restricted in this way before in our whole lives, basically. Yeah. And I don't know about you, but I found it so challenging. I'm such a like social person, and to not be seeing people all the time, or like also even when you're speaking to people or you chat to your friends or whatever, no one has anything to say, so you end up like kind of speaking less because no one has anything to talk about.
So true. I remember in real life people would be like, okay, check on your introverted friends, and now in lockdown they're like, oh my god, check on your extroverted friends.
it's so true. So really, really happy to be out of lockdown. I think the whole of the UK, especially London right now, like you cannot get a reservation to save your life. You cannot get an Airbnb. Like if you want a lunch reservation, you're talking like 3:30 p.m. on a Wednesday kind of vibes. Wow. That's the earliest you're gonna get. If you want a dinner reservation, they're like, yeah, we've got 5:30. You're like, I could eat at 5:30. I could eat 5:30. Oh, that's okay. I'll take it.
A really funny reel. Imagine like you bring your own table and chairs and sit outside. Someone needs to do that in London. Oh my god. To be like getting a reservation, be like, oh my god.
It's literally, do you think in reels now? Because I do too.
I do. And lately I've gotten back on TikTok. And so I'm sure I'm annoying Scott so much. I'm like, oh, that would be such a funny TikTok. Or do you know what we could do? Or like showing each other things. But it's so much fun.
It's so fun. Especially when you're in lockdown. I feel like it's provided so much entertainment over the 300 lockdowns we've had.
I know. And what's really cool too is, I mean, seeing you and even Victoria from In the Fro, like seeing you guys grow because of reels and seeing people on TikTok as well grow because of that platform. It's just, it's so cool because you can just show so much more personality, and you're someone who loves to show your personality.
It is so different, isn't it? Like, I feel like in pictures, I just don't love taking pictures as much as I do with reels and like having fun in that kind of way. I feel like in video, I've always been a video form kind of person. Like, I've always gone more to YouTube than like pictures and things like that. So yeah, I way prefer having reels now.
Well, this all kind of like comes really nicely with We Did It podcast, and this theme as well this year is all within this brand, this idea of make your own momentum. So for years and years, Amelia, this has been my life mantra, because I wanted to be in broadcasting, and it's so different from like becoming an accountant, because it's like you don't write a couple tests and then you're like, oh, we did it. We're here.
Yeah. I'm here. I'm an accountant. Yeah.
Yeah. You have to open doors for yourself.
Showing your personality online can seem so easy. Just saying that, I don't know, just be yourself on camera. Well, it's not exactly that easy. When the record button goes on, it can feel a little bit uncomfortable, and all of a sudden you realize you're talking to yourself in front of a camera in your room alone. And all you're thinking is, who else can hear this? Does this sound crazy? Well, Amelia is someone who has been able to truly shine through those moments and get so comfortable that sometimes I truly just feel like I'm hanging out with a friend. So I wanted to ask her take on that, and as well dive a little bit deeper on being a content creator when it wasn't the status quo.
Yeah, it is so different now, because now it's like every week it's like, oh, Amelia, can you come speak at this careers day about what it's like to be like a content creator or an influencer? And like, even 3 years ago, 4 years ago, that would just not even be a thing. It was definitely like more of like a passion kind of side project, and it was a way even to get into beauty journalism, or like, it was just something else to have on your CV that looked good. Like, if that was at most what it was, if you know what I mean. Like, it was barely that, but it was at most that. but yeah, it was kind of crazy. Like, I remember starting and being like so embarrassed to have a blog, and like so embarrassed to do anything. And obviously you were doing it purely out of passion, like not for anything else. There was no way you could have a job from this. There was no way you were going to get sent any products. Like, that was literally the only reason you would do it, is because you loved the industry, or because it wasn't even an industry. It was literally just like fun. I just wanted to talk about beauty. That was literally it. I wanted to talk about beauty, and everyone around me was so bored of hearing about my favorite lip balm or whatever I want to talk about that day. So yeah, it definitely like, it opened up so many doors. And I remember, and this is kind of relevant to the theme of your podcast, is I applied for a role at Tatler magazine, which is like quite a big Condé Nast publication here. And I don't know if you guys have Tatler. Do you have Tatler?
We don't. I've seen it just from posts and things, because I feel like I follow a big bubble of UK YouTubers.
Yeah.
And I talk about them like they're my friends all the time. I'll be like, oh my God, Scott, new news. Anna and Mark are pregnant.
Anna's pregnant.
And he's like, great.
Cool. Like, who's that? Yeah.
But anyways, back to the magazine.
That was big news. That was big news, Anna and Mark's pregnancy. I was so bouncing off the walls for that. That was so fun. I did actually see your comment underneath her post as well. We commented like the same thing.
I was like, oh, so cute. They're friends. So it's like second degree of separation.
But yeah, anyway, so I applied for a job at Tatler, and on my CV was my blog, basically, and it was a beauty assistant role. So it kind of looked like on my CV, I was super, super keen on beauty, and they could see an example of my writing and my style and what products I was into and whatever. And I think that's what got me like through the first round. I didn't actually get the job. And I was so gutted. I ran into my sister's room crying. She was with her boyfriend. I just like sat on the floor and I was like, I can't believe it. That was my dream job and like my dream publication. Yeah. And like, if I didn't get that job, then like, I'm not going to get any jobs. Anyway, literally what, like 7 years later, I'm now a contributing beauty editor of Tatler, which is crazy. Like, that is crazy to me. That blows my mind every day. It's so crazy. And when I went in to speak to them about it, the editor was like, so is this something you want to do? And I was like, I thought I was here to convince you, but actually you're convincing me. Like, this is weird. was like, I don't know what to do. So yeah, I had to take a moment after that because that was like a funny full circle. But that was literally like a path that I had created. If I hadn't got rejected from that job, then I wouldn't have probably continued with my blog. I would have just let it kind of fizzle out or something. So that's kind of crazy.
Along this path, I have learned that in life, it's the moments that were the hardest that I took the biggest lesson. But when you're in the thick of it, you can't exactly see the equation having an equal sign at the end. All you see is minus, 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 and maybe the negativity that's surrounding you. However, on the plus side of things, to just totally round out that equation analogy, there are so many lessons that we take out of the tough times, and it's how we deal with those that we can really turn it into our own momentum piece.
I love that because I found that as well so much along my own journey, is that anything I didn't get was so gutting at the time. But I look back and I'm like, oh, thank goodness.
Thank God, yeah.
Thank goodness I didn't get that. It is
amazing. What's your version of that? Something like that where you're like, oh.
Yeah, so originally when I went to school, I went to university for science and I played volleyball and like that was my life, you know, and it was environmental science and biology. And then eventually I just decided I really love broadcasting. Like anytime I saw a friend who was doing it, I had two gals who were doing it, and I was just so envious. And I started learning that envy is a North Star. It truly is. Like you are envious of someone doesn't mean you can't support them, but you have to listen to that burning part inside of you. And so I ended up taking...
I love that. I've never heard that before. You
like,
know?
Think about it though. Anytime, yeah. I'm sure if you saw someone collaborate with a big brand, you're like, I'm so envious. I'm so happy for you, but I've got to get my butt in gear because this is something I want.
That's what I want. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So I took a year off in between university and college because I actually went back for a second degree. I went back for journalism, new media to like get the check and learn all the things.
Okay.
And in between then, I started up a YouTube channel called The Marauder Report because I went to McMaster and we were the McMaster Marauders. And I started it with my friend who was on the football team. And basically what we did was we like made a YouTube channel where we just like interviewed our friends and like talked about what happened in sports that week. So that was like such a make your own momentum thing because it was like, there are no doors open right now. So how can I start creating something?
So you made your own. Yeah.
Yeah. And I would do like little sideline, like whenever our local cable network would cover the university sports. Now that I had graduated, I would like do the live color and do stuff like that. And from there, I applied to school and all of these things. And there were some things that happened, like I didn't end up getting the in-arena in-game hosting for our local, basically CFL team. It's like the NFL in the States is CFL in Canada. And I didn't get that. And I was so upset and everything. And I had ended up getting this brand journalism job where I was creating videos behind the scenes. And it was so good because I learned how to edit. I learned how to shoot. I learned how to do all these things. And eventually I just started networking like crazy. Like people just don't realize how important networking is. And that's why my heart goes out to the kids right now who can't network with people.
Yeah.
And I ended up just networking like crazy. I met one of the producers of Hockey Night in Canada. And I said, hey, this is what I want to do. And I think it's so important as well. I'd love to hear your take on this, but have you ever just had that chance where you've just told people what you want? It's so important. That's one of the biggest tips for people. Mm. It's like, don't be shy. Like tell
don't
people
be shy,
what you want.
Yeah.
And so he ended up putting me up for this audition. I had created a separate YouTube channel. So there was this random point, Amelia, where I had the president of the Toronto Maple Leafs, Brendan Shanahan, watching my YouTube video in the ACC boardroom on how to plan a pool party just because it's ridiculous. Just because they wanted to see my personality before they brought me in for an audition. And I auditioned, I got the Marlies.
Oh my God,
like,
I just got goosebumps.
Yes. Marlies is like little brothers of Toronto Maple Leafs. And then so I got that job. And then I had this university degree that was environmental science and biology. And then I auditioned for the Weather Network, which is like our national weather station. And it's like, wow, like everything comes full circle. You know, everything works together.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
God, my mind is blown. That's so crazy. God, how cool. That is so cool.
It's been such a cool journey. So has there been a moment where you've kind of put out to the universe or told someone you wanted something and down the line it's kind of come together?
Yeah, it's definitely something that like is such an amazing tip for you to share with everyone. And like, I'm so glad you said that, because sometimes it's kind of hard to pinpoint and also to get that push of like, this is what I want. Basically 100% agree. That's all I had to say. Yeah, I feel like it's definitely something that like over time and with confidence, I've learned that that is the best way forward. Like, no one is a mind reader. No one's going to know what you want. It's definitely something that you have to put out there and ask for. Worst case, someone says no. And then it might be a bit embarrassing, but you'll get over it. It's fine.
If you think that showing up online is scary, think about creating a brand, a brainchild, something that you pour your entire heart and soul into, something you think is just supposed to represent you in the world. Well, that is Raymi for Amelia, a jewelry brand that she has completely spearheaded on her own. And I wasn't going to leave this conversation without learning a little bit more about the brand that actually connected us online, but as well, just how it all got started.
So many exciting things happening for you. Look at your earrings. They're coming out so soon.
Look at your earrings. I'm so touched. I can't stop staring at them.
I literally got a text message today because I was wearing them yesterday in my Instagram stories. And I literally got a message today of someone being like, okay, but never mind all that stuff. Where are your earrings from? Which is so cute.
Can you That's so sweet.
Tell me all about Raymi. I think where I want to start with Raymi, if you're open just to talking about the brand, is like, when did you decide this is it? This is what I want to start. This is where I need to take my heart, even though it's so scary.
Okay. God, that is hard, because I feel like I've never had the courage to do that up until this point. And I remember when I did my first jewelry collaboration, it was with Majuri, which are like a huge Canadian brand now, aren't they?
I'm wearing one right now.
And are you actually? Yeah. I love Majuri so much.
Love them.
I was the first blogger that they ever collaborated with, and it went so well that they literally started doing like monthly drops with different bloggers.
Wow.
And it was like such a huge turning point for them and for me, because I was like, oh wow, like people really, really like my jewelry recommendations, collection, whatever it was. And then a couple of years later, I did a more affordable range with a brand here called Skinny Dip, and that sold really well as well. And it was such a great collection, because I feel like more people could afford it, because it was still gold plated, but it was on the much more lower price point compared to like Majuri or Misoma or like any of the other brands that I collaborate with. And after Skinny Dip, after that first range, I was like, okay, this is what I want to do. Like, this is where I really need to take myself, because I have such a strong vision for what I want, and I don't want anyone else getting in my way. I don't want anyone to tell me what I can and cannot do. Like, this is going to be too expensive. You can't do that. That's going to use too much gold. You can't do that. No, like, I am doing this freaking my way. And I am such a bulldozer like that. And it's bad and good. It's a double-edged sword, because, you know, you end up in a bit of trouble sometimes shooting yourself in the foot. But the rest of the time, it's like, I'm so used to being my own boss now that when I want something done, like I want it done exactly like my way. And I felt like that with Raymi. I felt like my brand, my own brand, not a collaboration, had to be like fully 100% me, and had to have like my vision and my stamp on it. And the only way that was going to happen if it was just me. And I did look into doing sort of like collaborative brands. I know a lot of my friends in the industry have their own brands, as it were, but it's kind of 50% owned with another company or an investor or someone else who can run it for them. They're sort of like the face of the company, and it's very silent. You don't hear about these other partners, but they are there and they sort of run the show on your behalf, really. And I just chose not to go down that route, because I was like, I want to do this all myself, my way. And like, I want to make sure that like everything is done to Amelia Liana standards, and like just hold the stand like really high. So that was kind of where Raimi started, and that was about, I would say, like a couple years ago now. It takes a while. It takes a while. If anyone's looking to start a brand overnight, don't.
That is
it ain't happening overnight.
Yeah. What's one of the biggest things that you've kind of come up against and thought, ooh, wow, that was like a big learning lesson for having the brand?
I think that mainly the timelines in terms of like getting things out there, you know, you don't really think about that so much as a consumer, like how long things take to make. For example, like just the sampling takes 2 months. 2 months to make, not even design, not even get the drawings, not even get the products over to the UK, not even the second round of sampling. So you're talking like months and months and months. So if something sells out and people are like, when's it going to be back in stock? And I'm sat there like crying, like, not for at least 2 months, at least. Like,
why weren't you faster?
Yeah, like, why isn't everyone fast? So yeah, like that I would say has been the biggest challenge for me, because that part is so out of my control. Like that is the workshops that we're working with, and like, and that's a pretty standard timeline, to be honest. So that part has been really challenging, especially when I want to just like get stuff out there and I'm like, okay, I have the samples, woo, let's launch tomorrow, and I'm like, oh no, I have to wait like at least 3 months now. Wearing the stuff.
One of the things that I absolutely love about you and your vlogs is that you'll be like, oh, hint, like you're just like way too excited to keep it in.
I know, I can't keep it a secret, and then people are like, when's that coming out, and I'm like, not for 2 months, sorry.
That's so funny.
So bad.
So you were on a photo shoot. What was the energy around the photo shoot? How are you feeling? You were saying in your Instagram stories, it was the first time that you were seeing a model your jewelry for the shoot, yes, not just you. So how did that feel, like holding yourself back?
I much prefer having a model on the shoot, I think, because that was the first time we've ever done it for Raimi, and I could really just focus on what the jewelry looked like, not normally I'm like, what do I look like and what does the jewelry look like, which is kind of weird. Yeah. But I'm normally like, okay, I don't like that picture of me at all, but the jewelry looks great. It's kind of hard when it's like of you. But it was definitely much easier, like just turning up to the shoot in my jeans and being like, oh great, someone else can like pose with their hands and think, oh, have I done this pose already yet today?
Yeah.
That's someone else's domain. I can just focus on the jewelry. But yesterday we had our campaign shoot for the new collection, and it was so great. It was so sunny. We were all outside most of the day. There was like a team of like 10 of us. It was so much fun. It was like those kind of days, and especially that day I actually shared the new collection. So whilst I was like changing my hair or my makeup or whatever, I was reading all the comments and messages, and that was just like giving me so much energy. It was so nice.
Oh, that's so lovely. When you were showing off the jewelry in your Instagram story, one thing really hit me. When I was a little girl and I got my ears pierced for the first time, you always get those little loops, right? Those training ones for your hole. But the very first pair of studs I ever got was a little tiny gold clover. And when you showed off the one, it was like a memory I had totally forgotten. And then,
oh my God, it like jogged you.
All flooded back. It was just so, so lovely. I'm really excited for you.
That's so sweet.
So you have done this now, this brand. You've also come out with your makeup bag, all of these other things. There's so many things that you're doing. But at the heart of it all is your personal brand. And I think another thing that I connect with, because we only have so much time in a day, right? So to watch vlogs and all this stuff, there's like a pack of people I watch Sunday morning. I'm like, oh, this is my Sunday morning. What is going through your mind when you're doing a vlog? Amelia, you are so real. So just you in the moment. It feels like you're talking to a friend. It feels like so unedited at moments in the best way. And how do you just get to that vulnerable point? Seriously, I think a lot of people who start YouTube are just like, how do I be myself on camera?
Oh, I'm so glad you said that, because that really is like, that is how I feel. And even when I'm around my friends, like Guy even said to me the other day, he's like, it's just so crazy. Like sometimes I don't even realize your camera's there because I'll just whip it out and whip it. And he's like, I forget that you're vlogging. All of a sudden we're having a conversation and like your camera's there. And I'm like, oh yeah, she's vlogging. Like it's just become such second nature to me. And even to the people around me that my camera's just there. And like my mum sometimes like, can you not film me? Like I'm in my tracksuits. And I'm like, nobody cares. Nobody cares. I'm in my tracksuits too. We're all in lockdown. What else are you going to wear?
Oh my God. Your mom is gorgeous as well. Like, come on. Come on.
But it definitely has been like, I remember in the beginning, my first YouTube video, I made my sister sit in the room so that I could feel like I was talking to someone because I was like, I'm talking to nobody here. Like, nobody's listening. But now because I engage with people and I see, like, I spend so much time on comments. Like, people think, like, oh, it's not Amelia, or like whenever I reply to people's DMs with like a picture of me or a voice note or whatever, everyone's like, can't believe it's you. I'm like, what? Who do you think's on there? Like, I spend so much time engaging with people that I know, like, I feel like I have so many faces or usernames or whatever in my head when I'm vlogging.
That is so cute. I love that you said your sister comes in the room with you too, because that was one of my biggest tips when I was learning to broadcast. Because it's so funny when you're in a newsroom, you're talking to a camera, same way you're vlogging. Yeah. And I would just pretend like I was talking to my dad, because we're always goofs. We always joke together. Like, we just have such a great relationship. And the best compliment ever was, oh, I feel like it's Amanda telling me the weather, not you trying to be someone else. Aww, and it's because of that. It's because you're like, have those people in mind. And also having the usernames in your mind is so funny too, because going to events when you're first going or meeting someone, you'll be like, oh, that's like so and so, and then you're like, oh, so wait, true. No, they have a real name.
Yeah, Victoria's still saved on my phone as Victoria in the Fro from like when we first met back in the day, and I've just never changed it. And then like recently on a trip, she was like, I'm still Victoria in the Fro. I was like, yeah, you're Victoria Fro. I don't know your last name. Just kidding. Obviously I know her last name, but like from back in the day when it was like everyone was called their usernames, basically. Like, I was Leanna Beauty Blog. That was literally my name.
That is so, so cute. Well, I kind of like the segue, actually, you speaking about Victoria, and then as well, obviously you're so close to Estee, watching her come out with her like 10 years on YouTube. It's so fun watching the evolution. And you speaking about Guy and your sister, another one of my favorite things that I've learned from you over the years has been the phrase front row people.
My hope and prayer is that every single person out there has someone that they feel like they can talk to, someone they feel they can confide in, but not even just that, someone that they can feel they can just be so themselves, they never even knew that they could be that themselves, if that makes sense. And Amelia has the perfect name for this, and it is front row people.
Front row people came about from my coach. Now, this is a bit of a roundabout explanation, but essentially, when I was engaged and my engagement fell apart, my coach, Shelley, who I interviewed on my podcast, said to me, you need to just focus on your front row people. She was like, only engage about it with your front row people. The more people you add in, the more noise it becomes and the more gossip it creates and etc., etc., etc. She was like, identify your front row people. Those are the front row people in your life. You know who they are, and those are the people you confide in. Those are the people you share how you're feeling with. That is it. And that term is the best term ever. It's just so applicable. Like, it just makes so much sense. Like, I love my front row people, and I feel like that is a term that I've like kept using and using and using all the time. Because I feel like once you know when someone's in your front row, when they really have your back, when like you really meet each other's like understanding, and there's just a no judgment zone, you can just go and say and feel however you want to feel, that is your front row person. They're your besties.
They're the people where you sometimes when you're around them, you are like, wow, I have never been this me, or I haven't been this me in so long. I didn't know I could be this me. I just adore that so much.
It's really hard to go through life without experiencing some sort of heartbreak, whether that be a relationship, a passing of a pet or a parent, or even a friendship that kind of breaks down. It's just all pieces of having a heart and being a human. Now, both Amelia and I know have gone through really tough heartbreaks, and I know this because of her own podcast, What I Know Now. Now, I also couldn't leave this conversation without connecting and touching base with her on that. Not diving too deep, but wanting to know how she felt being on camera after feeling completely heartbroken, because it's something I struggled with, but I also found that when I was able to tap into my strength and still show up, I almost proved to myself that I was stronger than I could have ever imagined. And this is Amelia's story.
On the one way, when you're speaking about, you know, that tough time, turbulent time in life, mm-hmm. I remember when I kind of took you through that path of like going through that career stuff, I was also going through this like shattering moment. Like, I feel like I'm getting emotional right now, so I'm just gonna take a breath. But a moment in life where I just, people talk about heartbreak, but there's like a difference when it's like heart shattered. And it was so incredible just to have something for me and to see those moments where, you know, being on camera is tough and sometimes you prove how strong you are. So another one of my jobs was in arena host for the Toronto Marlies. So basically it's like a stadium of 8,000 people and you're the person on the screen being like, get loud fans. Like you're that like get loud fans person.
So if you have no energy inside of you and you're telling everyone to have loads of energy, that is tough.
Yeah. And Amelia, I remember like being on the train going to that job, bawling. And like, she not a pretty crier. Like I'm a Kimmy K crier. like bawling and then being like, you know, stiffening up my chin, wiping my tears and then being like, okay, let's have the best night of our lives,
game
you know,
face.
And it's just like literally game face. And I just want to hear about the moment that you decided, you know what, I need to turn all of this into something positive that can help people, because your podcast has also just, it's changed lives and you've gotten messages about that. You've put out your own manual about overcoming heartbreak. And that's had to have been so tough to make What I Know Now, but it's probably one of the most amazing things as well that you think about in your career.
Thank you. I'm so touched because I've said this before, I cannot go back and listen to those podcast episodes. Like, I cringe my life away. I shared way too much, like all in the hope that it helped people. Like, I just knew that I was looking for so many resources for heartache, heartbreak, how to move on, what to do. Like, just even a friend that had talked about this kind of online in that sort of like friendly way that I could feel less alone. And I just didn't, there was literally nothing out there. And I still get messages on a daily basis like, Amelia, I had no idea, never heard of you, but my friend sent you your podcast because my relationship ended and I just want to say like, thank you so much or whatever. Like, just messages like that, like so, so nice. Like, even still, like, and that was almost like a year and a half ago now that when that those first like podcast episodes aired. And I think when I was first looking for all this information, like it didn't really occur to me like, oh, I could put this out there myself. Like I definitely wasn't in the headspace for that. But I think the more that I learned about the experience and the more that I was like, you know what, I'm coming out the other side of this. I'm not fully out of it yet, but there is light when I thought there wasn't light. And I hope that I can show someone else that like there is light when they're feeling like I am just in full on pitch black here and there is no end to the tunnel. Like I'm in pitch black for always, basically. So that was kind of the aim. And I think I brought on my friend Isabella, who's one of my front row people as well, because I just wasn't in the right mental space to fully go there. I needed to feel safe enough to go there, which was why I brought on Isabella, and she'd kind of like behind the scenes be like, it's fine, like you can say that, you don't really go there. Like I just needed a little sort of like barometer almost of like what where I was going and what I was saying, because I didn't want to obviously share too much. I didn't want to paint my ex in a bad light at all. This was all about like healing and heartbreak and moving forward basically, and like how to do that in the best way for you. So I needed to feel safe enough to do that. So that was why I brought on Isabella as well. And the feedback has always been amazing. I'm just so glad, because honestly, it was one of the hardest things I ever did. I don't think I could do it again. I'm definitely never listening to the podcast episodes ever again.
It was so nice listening to some episodes with like, yeah, you could tell they were your front row people. And I don't know, there's something so special when vulnerability isn't forced. And it's always so amazing when you're on a podcast and then you forget you're on a podcast and you're like, oh my God, what did I just say? But no, I love that. I love that so much.
I've said this before in this podcast, but building an authentic voice online can be really tough. And I think it doesn't necessarily have to be you crying online and showing those really tough times. It can also just be those moments where you feel authentically yourself, authentically silly. And when you're in front of your front row people, that's the you that you want to show online. So Amelia has been able to tap into that vein, and I really wanted to learn how.
Okay, you have to answer too. Okay. I want to know yours as well. I think I would say like, to really think about what gets you going. I think right now, especially, it's so easy to kind of get lost in like trends and viral things. And I remember on YouTube back in the day, there was this, I don't know if you ever saw this, like putting on 100 layers of lipstick trend. And I remember doing that video, uploading it. And as soon as I posted it, I was like, this isn't me. I don't want to be, this isn't even funny. Like, I don't want to be wasting 100 layers of my nice lipstick. And I just got, and it's so easy to get lost in the trends and in the like viral things. So really kind of, I guess, think if I was like advising someone, I suppose, like you said, think about like what really drives you and what you're really like passionate about. Like for me, it's like beauty, fashion, and I love making people laugh. Like I love, especially now when we're all in lockdown and we were in a freaking global pandemic, like I love comments like this made my day, or like I'm laughing so much. I was having a crap day and like I'm so much happier now. Like that is my driver. And yeah. I love, like those are my drivers basically. So kind of identifying that and then thinking about like what you can create in those kind of categories.
Yeah, it sounds a lot like that's your why. Like, why am I doing this? Well, it's this. Like, this is my why.
Yeah, 100%.
So important. I would say right now I'm like floating on the bubble of that, which is kind of tough just because I had a career that really helped me, you know, be on camera, do the like all the behind the scenes work. And I'm just really trying to figure out who I am on screen. But I think for me, being on kind of this earlier part of this journey in comparison to you is just that, is like, you can't compare your chapter one to someone else's, you know, book five.
Yeah.
You've just got to go day by day. And at the end of the day, if you feel good about what you're putting out there, then hopefully that should be enough. Because if it's not, then there's some inside work that has to be done because you're not feeling enough to share.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I love that. That's such good advice.
Yeah, so that's been a little bit of that.
You have really great like Amanda-isms, like chapter one to chapter five, North Star. I'm gonna use some of your Amanda-isms. I like that.
You can use some of those at parties if you want.
Being online comes with so many different pieces that can weigh you down or lift you up. And one of the things that can weigh you down if you don't get it under control as soon as you start to create is comparison. You are you, and that is your power. And even if you think that a market is saturated, you should still join, because no one is going to share, create, or move around that circle of people like you will. The UK, I don't know what it is, but I have experienced just watching vlogs from different people in the UK. I'll give you a list of them because I literally love all of these women so much. Essay Lalonde, Amelia Liana, Anna Newton from the Anna Edit, Lily Pebbles, Victoria from In The Fro, Josie from The Fashion Mumbler. I mean, you have all of these women who are so great. Patricia Bright, for goodness sake. But you look to your left, you look to your right, And you could fall into comparison so easily, or you could rise with each other. And that's what I think these women have done. It's so unique. I really wanted to learn a little bit about the comparison game when it comes to online, especially with those numbers and just the amount of content that these women churn out every single week.
One last thing I think I want to say about firm row people is a good amount of them are doing the same thing that you do. So how do you kind of take down the comparison and just float along this journey together if that's what you're doing?
Yeah, that's such a good question. I feel like in this industry, especially when it's a lot of the similar kind of category of girls, it would make sense that everyone would be competitive. Like, it would make sense. And I think I've been so lucky in finding friends that aren't competitive and that, like, really support each other. Estee and I, when we met, like, there was just never any inch of competition. It was so weirdly healthy. Do you know what I mean? It was like so surprisingly healthy in that way, like, especially because everyone's like, oh, you're a competitor, and you're like, but we're actually not. Like, everyone sees it like that and says it like that, but like for us and our relationship, it's not like that at all. I think also it depends on how you feel. Like you said, like, you can feel jealous of someone, or you could use that for motivation for yourself. Do you know what I mean? I feel like people sense that energy off you. Like, they can tell if you're feeling jealous of them or envious of them or whatever.
Yeah. And or if it's like fake.
Maybe find that. Yeah, or if it's fake, or maybe find that a bit repelling when you're saying, like, oh, I'm so jealous, I wish I had that or whatever. You know? It's something that, like, that is quite off-putting for people. And also it's a mirror. I feel like as soon as one person enters a relationship feeling envious or jealous, then it kind of spreads really fast. So yeah, I guess I've been like very lucky in that hasn't been the case like at all. And I think that's definitely down to like choosing people, like being attracted even to people that don't feel like that, that are really supportive. Like, even Victoria and I were messaging yesterday, and she was like, babe, your new jewelry collection looks amazing. It's so funny. It's absolutely nothing like my new jewelry collection. And I was like, can't wait. We can mix and match together. And like, just talking like that. And it's like, that is what you want from a female friendship, really.
Yeah,
you want someone who's going to support you. There's room for everyone. Like, you want someone that's going to support you and lift you up and pick each other up when you're down.
Yeah, I'm so happy that you found your companion Canadian in Estee, and yes! Like, ooh, it's like boot. A guide dog. Like, everyone needs their own companion Canadian. And also, speaking to even you and Victoria, like, when she hit a million, it's just like, you can tell that the support's there between the two of you, you know, like, it's, we grow together, and yeah, it's such a lie that you can only together, do it by yourself.
Yeah. And even in this industry, especially, it's so small that when one person does something, it does pave way for everyone else. It's so amazing like that. It's so cool that, like, you know, one person starts something, and then all of a sudden, like, everyone else is doing that. I remember back in the day when Estee became a Lancome ambassador, it was like, that was the first of anyone in London, anyone in the UK that was an ambassador in that way for a brand, for a beauty brand, especially a L'Oreal-owned beauty brand. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, all these other brands started following with other influencers. And it's like, it kind of paves the way. It's so cool how, you know, one person starts and then it just opens up a whole avenue for everyone else.
Yeah, that is so cool. And even having other friends in the industry too. One of my last questions is on dealing with negativity, because sadly online, like,
I know,
it can be a cesspool, or it can just be the best place ever. And no one gets to this amount of success without some people who aren't stepping up to the ring saying, hey, you can't do that. It's never the ones who are showing up. We've learned that from Brené Brown. Yeah. But how do you deal with that on a daily basis?
Yeah. Firstly, Brené, freaking love her. Hi, Scotty. Hey.
Just brought Rosie back from the vet.
Oh my God.
She's so cute. She's 13 weeks old now, and it's been life-changing.
She's amazing.
One little thing
she's
you said
best
in
thing
your...
I've ever seen.
When you said in your vlog, when you were like, they're annoying, but I wouldn't not have them. I was like, wow, that's the most relatable thing ever today. Yeah.
Have you seen that TikTok where it's like, show me something you find annoying? Yeah. And like, and then everyone like pans over to like their dog and then they're like...
I've also seen the one where it's like, show me something that you got from your last relationship that you just can't get rid of. And they like pan to their kid. And I'm like, oh, what a savage.
That's brilliant. I haven't seen that one. That is so funny.
Oh my God, so bad.
Oh my God. So entertaining.
I'm like sweating now.
I'm like dead. Yeah, dead. That is so funny. Oh God.
Oh my God.
I've got the question. Oh, haters, haters, haters. Okay, first of all, yes, Brené, love her. You are never going to be criticized from someone that's doing more than you.
Yeah.
It's just quite simple. Second of all, it does come with the territory. So, and it is something that's like so easy almost to overcome. Like all you really need to do is share it with someone, send it, screenshot it to your friend and be like, what the hell is that? Like, oh my goodness. And almost like talking about it makes it seem so minor. Whereas I've always find when I like leave it in my head to just kind of linger and like float around and don't get it out there, it becomes much bigger. Whereas as soon as I've said it, I'm like, oh, that was a dumb comment. Why do I even care about that? Like, whatever.
I feel so bad for them.
Yeah, like,
is what I usually kind of think.
And it is that so true. I'm like, oh, shame. Like, shame that you're so unhappy that like you go and try and make other people unhappy. Like, that's so sad.
Scotty's advice is always like, if you wouldn't take advice from them, don't take criticism from them. And I'm like, boom, exactly. Like, that's it.
Boom. Yeah. I go to my front row people for criticism. I'm like, what do you think of this? Is it crap? And they're probably like, yes, but they're my front row people. I'm asking them, you know, I'm asking them
and,
for that.
Well, then they're probably like, oh, well, look at the one I got today. You know, I've also seen those TikToks where it's like turning my haters quotes into like, or comments into inspirational quotes.
Inspirational
you should do that.
Quotes. So funny. Oh my God.
You don't
want
to promote
so
it, but it's just so ridiculous.
Yeah.
Last thing for We Did It podcast. I always ask people to kind of share with us a channel opening moment. And basically the channel opening moment, it has to do with this one Martha Graham quote. And it's the idea that we all have creative channels and it's not ours to judge. It's not ours to shut off, because if we do shut it off, it'll never exist in the world. And like, what a shame that would be. And so the channel opening moment is essentially like something that you want to leave people after your episode to think about.
Ooh.
Right? Either it could be something that you've dealt with, something you're reflecting on after lockdown, something that maybe came up in this conversation, anything really.
Yeah. Actually, something that didn't come up in this conversation that I felt like would was the whole topic of gratitude and how big of a shift that is. Like when you're kind of like thinking and acting and feeling ingratitude, how much everything around you in the world shift. I really thought we would get on there today. I don't really know why I just got that vibe. We didn't, but that is probably something that I try, especially now when it's like it's so easy to be moping around all day kind of vibes, when we're like, okay, there's another day of doing exactly the same thing as we've done for the past year. Especially now, like it's so easy to go down there to kind of get in that shift of like feeling grateful, thinking about what you have to be grateful for, like doing that kind of like affirmation for yourself so that you can grow and actually like fill your tank and actually like thrive in your day, basically. That would be probably my channel, I wouldn't say moment, but like conversation, daily sort of front of your mind thought.
What are you most grateful for today?
Oh my God, this podcast has been so fun. Like, I'm grateful. Aww. Like, I already think of you as a friend and I'm like, is it embarrassing to call Amanda a friend on my Instagram stories when we've never met?
No, but that's it though, is it's so funny because that, like how I was saying, oh, Anna and Mark are pregnant. It's so weird because you just let people in your life. And I also really think about this whole creator thing around the world. It's like a club. It's like the same kind of people join the club. And then you're just like, oh, hey, like, welcome to the club. I love it.
So true.
Scotty's uncles live in the UK. And so many times when you're like, oh, I love this restaurant, I'll screenshot and be like, have you like been here? Or like, let's talk about this. Or so our next trip was going to be to the UK, but now they're moving to the south of France. So I was like, is it weird if I was like, Amelia, would you want to come for lunch if I'm in the UK? I mean, that's
not at all. Oh my God. I would love that. I mean, the UK is pretty big. London, yes.
Yeah. London. They're in London. They're in London.
Like, if I'm in the UK, I'm like, depends where.
That's so true. People make that mistake about Canada all the time.
Yeah, like, I'm coming to Canada. You're like, whereabouts exactly?
It's the second biggest country in the world.
Yeah. So funny. Yeah, like, that is what I'm most grateful for today. Like, I love meeting people and, like, finding people I have similar interests with, can have fun conversations with. And, like, I probably would never have found your profile if you hadn't bought Raimi, so I'm so grateful for your support and like you tagging the brand and everything. Like, that was so nice. And then I got to find your profile. That was like such a bonus from it.
Oh, that's so nice. It is so funny because that day I was like, oh my God, Scott, you won't believe what just happened. And I think that is a good tip actually for anyone who is creating or wants to get into creating. If there's a brand you really want to work with or a brand you admire, like, do stuff for their brand. You know, I always like just supporting creators, fellow creators I like, because I mean, we're always creating content for free. So it's just so nice to see something come to fruition from their own like head. But yeah, Amelia, thank you so much. This has been so lovely.
Thank you so much. This has been amazing. I'm so touched you asked me to be on your podcast. I'm so sweet. So thank you so much for having me.
So that's it. That's all, you guys. That was our first episode of season 2. I am so thrilled, so honored, so heartened that Amelia took an entire hour out of her day. I know I can only really imagine how much work that was. I want to give an absolutely shining shout out as well to Pia Brown, who was my main contact to really chat with Amelia and get this all organized. We had the funniest just exchange of figuring out this time and the time change. And she was just an absolute superstar. So Pia, thank you so much. You can find Amelia's channels on Instagram and YouTube by just simply typing in Amelia Leanna. I will put it down in the show notes. And as well, if you're as curious and in love with Raimi or curious about any of the extra launches that are coming out, it's at Raimi Collection on Instagram, and I will also link the website where you can check out everything new. I suggest following along with Amelia's story as well, because sometimes she'll give you the sneak peek. She just gets so excited and you're just gonna be in the know for anything that comes up Raimi-wise. My name is Amanda Walden. Thank you again for listening, watching. If you made it this far, you can also follow along with me at Below the Blonde on Instagram. And I also am gonna be rebooting that Instagram account for We Did It Podcast. And it's just that, at We Did It Podcast on Instagram. Give us a thumbs up, rate and review our podcast on Apple Podcasts, and I hope I see you in the next one. The goal of this week, this month, this year was to reboot season 2, and guys, we did it.